Yuma Daf Memalef. We are towards the beginning of the fourth parak of the Masechta. Mishnayos are continuing through the Seder Avodas Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. Fourth parak opens up with the selection of the goats, where the goats are going to be determined which of the two are going to be offered Lashem and which one is going to be sent off the cliff, Lazazel. Selection process is done via lottery, and that is what we've been describing here in the beginning of this fourth parak. Daf Lametes goes through the selection process. Yesterday's Daf Mem took us through a very basic question in terms of whether or not the selection process has to be done via lottery. Is the Hagrala Ma'akev, is the lottery essential? So that was the Gemara of yesterday. Gemara's yesterday was admittedly a complicated Daf, intricate in that it had a Machlokas Tanayim and then a Machlokas Amarim within the Machlokas Tanayim, two versions of whether the Machlokas Amarim fit into either the sheet of Rev Yehuda or the sheet of Rev Nechemia. And I encourage you to go back over yesterday's daf in order to get a good clarity of it. In the meantime, however, the Gemara in today's daf is going to be spending the entirety of the Amud Aleph and even some of the Amud Beis on a bit of a tangent. And as we'll see in just a moment how it is that the Gemara took us to this tangent, let's start with the Gemara, and the connection between today's daf and yesterday's daf will be clear in just a moment. I'm Rav Chista. The Gemara starts off with a halacha of Rav Chista. This halacha of Rav Chista is reported numerous times throughout Chas. So here in Yuma, Daf Mem Aleph, so we get this halacha once again. As just but a brief introduction, so we know that under certain circumstances, a pair of birds is brought as a carbon. One bird is going to be a chatas, the other one's going to be an ola. And there are a number of circumstances in which this can happen. Just as a simple example, a woman after having given birth, so when she goes through the end of her melos, the counting of her days, 40 for a boy, 80 for a girl, so then on the 41st or 81st day, she's going to be bringing her karbanos. Now, her karbanos are going to be a pair of animals, but in the event that she is poor, so she'll bring a pair of birds. One bird will be a chatas, and another will be an ola. And there are numerous other examples in which the chatas ola bird pair are brought. I just gave but one example. And what we're going to learn together is, in terms of the determination that after you have purchased a pair of birds, when exactly can we determine that one bird, which of the birds is going to be a chatas and which bird the birds is going to be an ola? So what Rav Chis is about to teach us is that there are only going to be two critical junctures, two opportunities in which this determination can be made, and it cannot be made at any other time. Am Rav Chista, the Gemara starts off, Ein Hakina Misparshos, the only time that the pair of birds can be identified, which one's a chatas, which one's an ola, is Ela Belikichas Balam, that's when the owners purchase these birds, O, the Asiyas Kohen, or when the Kohen is actually going to be prepared to offer these birds. And as Rashi explains over here, it's either at these two junctures, and it's at no other point in time, meaning that when the owner now purchases these pairs of birds to be brought as a karban, so at the purchase, the owner can then have an opportunity to make the determination which bird is a chatas, which bird is an ola. And obviously I'd recommend, again, I have no experience with this, but I would recommend then labeling the birds in so that they don't get confused. Then, after that point in time, if, let's say, no selection was done, no identification was done, you just simply purchased a pair of birds and you didn't identify them. So that is what's called a konstuma. If you remember your Mishnayos and Kinim, so we spent a lot of time with this, three prakim of this discussion. Third parak happens to have been unbelievably difficult, but regardless, the other opportunity is Lekichas Balam. Asiyas Kohen. Asiyas Kohen is going to be when the Kohen is ready to offer these birds as a carbon, meaning if the owner did not identify which one's which at the time of the Lekicha, so now the Kohen has an opportunity to identify them at the time of the Asiyah. And the point of Rav Chista is that if for whatever reason the owners didn't do it at the time of Lekicha, so then at any interim period between these two critical periods, so you could try to identify which one's which, but the birds are not going to take on any status. They remain a konstuma up until the point where the Kohen actually offers these birds as karbanos, and then the Kohen will make that determination. Good. This is a chiddush of Rav Chista. Where does he get it from? So I'm Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, my time with Rav Chista, and the basis of this halacha is based on the pasuk, Dechsi V'lachcha V'asa. So the pasuk says, V'lachcha V'asa. Now, it's not one pasuk the Gemara is quoting over here. It really is a collection of two psukim. Both of them are found in Vayikra, one is in Tazria, the other one's in Mitzara. But regardless, the point is that you have these two psukim connected with the pair of birds, v'lachcha v'asa, so obelakicha obasiya. And that means to say that the only time that these birds can be determined and assigned in terms of which is a chatas and which one's a ola is only at these two junctures, either at the time of the purchase or the time when the karbanos are about to be offered. But any interim time, so no assignment can be made. Good. That's the Chiddush of Rav Chisda. That's the Halacha of Rav Chisda. And for a good part now of today's daf, the Gemara is going to try to challenge and see whether or not this is in fact a supportable position, Meisve. So the Gemara starts off with the following challenge. We're going back to the Gemara that we learned yesterday, the Brisa that we learned yesterday, and this obviously is now going to be the connection between yesterday's daf and today's daf, as the Gemara is now going to be citing the Sifra that we learned yesterday, which is going to seemingly inform us about Rav Chisda's topic. So we know that the Goros Osechatos V'Neshem Osechatos. So when it comes to the selection of the two goats, so it has to be done via lottery and it cannot be done by verbal designation. Shiachav Alo Dinhu. And as we learned yesterday, the Brisa goes on to describe, because I might have thought, look, where you a lottery does not work and verbal designation works, which is basically every time you're makdish a karban. So makom shekiddush agorel eino din shekiddush Hashem. So in a case where a lottery works, and the Kal Vachomer is predicated on the logic that a lottery is definitely not a strong way to make an assignment, to make a determination. In fact, it's very passive. The lottery is deciding and I'm not deciding. So where lotteries are generally speaking unacceptable, and that's every time you're makdish an animal and verbal designation works, so in a time when lottery is acceptable, so how much more so, logic would seem to dictate that for sure you could do a verbal designation. So that's the Kal Vachomer, and if we didn't have a drasha and we didn't have a pasuk, the Kal Vachomer would have therefore informed us that you could assign the goats, which is Lashem, and which one's Lazazal, and you don't need the lottery. So Tamalam Ravaso Chatas, Agoro Se Chatas, Veneshem Ose Chatas. Good. And so what the Drasha tells us, what we learned yesterday, Sifra, is that that's what the Pasuk is going out of its way to tell us, that despite the Kal Vachomer can lead us in one direction, the Drasha will take us in a different direction. Notably, it can only be done via the goal and cannot be done through verbal designation. Good. Now here's where the Gemara wants to make its point. Vaha hacha delav shas lekicha, velav shas asiyehi. Now let's consider the goats at this point in time already been mekudash. They've already been designated and given kedushas agof. They are obviously not yet being offered. So we're interim. We're in between the periods of lekicha and asiya. And yet over here we're talking about assignment. V'ketani dekava. And over here, right, the Kal Vachomer seems to be suggesting that, of course, you could be koveya. Now, again, it happens to be that you can't be, but you could be koveya if the Kal Vachomer would have worked. And we're in this interim period, and according to Rav Chisda, taught us that that you can't be makdish during this interim period. It's either going to be at the point of either lakicha or at the point of asiya. Now, admittedly, the question is a little bit difficult to wrap our heads around, in that Rav Chisda's halacha was regarding a pair of birds, and over here we're talking about a pair of goats, and it's not exactly the same. But the Gemara feels at this point in time that, principally speaking, it's operating with the same mechanics, the same dynamics, and so the Gemara feels that this is a strong question. So Amar Rav Hachi Kamar. So what Rav is going to do is he's basically going to tweak the Brisa, the Sifra, so that the Brisa is going to incorporate Rav Chisda's halacha. Nothing's going to change in terms of the answer. All we're doing is just refining our understanding of the Brisa just a little bit so that it includes Rav Chisda's Chiddush. And now we're going to go over the Kal Vachomer again. Look, Goral, generally speaking, doesn't work. Not at the time of Lekicha, not at the time of Asiya. So, V'kiddush Hashem v'shas Lekicha v'shas Asiya. And at the same time, verbal designation will work either if you're at the point of lekicha or at the point of asiya. Good. So in other words, basically we're saying the Kal Vachomer again, but just simply understanding that the only feasible times to do to be mikdash animals either at lekicha or at asiya. So makom shekiddush agorel shelo b'shas lekicha. Now here by the shnei seirim where the lottery is doing the assignment, and it even happens to be shelo b'shas lekicha over shelo b'shas asiya. Now it happens to be that the lottery is giving this designation, and we are during an interim period. So ein odin doesn't stand to reason sheikadash Hashem b'shas lekicha v'shas asiya, that you can be mikdash. You could do verbal designation either at the time of shas lekicha or at the time of shas asiya. So tamalam revas. Good. So basically all we did is that we went over the Kal Vachomer, the same Kal Vachomer, but we just incorporated Rav Chisda's halacha into the Kal Vachomer, and so therefore at this point in time we are still in full defense of Rav Chisda, that when you have the pair of birds, the only time that you can assign which is Chatas and which is the Ola is either going to be at these two critical junctions, either at the time of purchase or at the time where the Kohen is about to offer it. Tashma. Gemara is going to try to bring another proof, and that comes from the following. Metami Mikdash Ani. Somebody who is Metami Mikdash. Tamei Mikdash is a description of someone who goes into the Beis Hamikdash while he is Tamei. He's doing so inadvertently. If he does so, b'mezik is chayv karis. He's doing so bishogeg. So for such an individual, he has to bring a carbon, what's called a carbon olaviyara, an adjustable carbon based on his financial status. So he goes into the Mikdash while being Tamei, and at the time he was an ani. Now, if you go through the psukim in Vayikra, in the fifth parak, so you'll see that if he's an asher, so he's going to bring a carbon chatas. If he's an ani, he's going to bring a pair of birds. Happens to be that there's even a third level of real destitute, which is an ani sheba ani. He's going to bring a mincha. But regardless, right now, we're just focusing on an asher versus an ani. So at the time when he was metame, he was an ani. V'hifrish malsukino, and he sets aside money for his pair of birds. A pair of birds, obviously, in the context of the psukim, is going to be less expensive than one single animal. So, v'hifrish malsukino v'he'eshir. The Braisa then goes on to describe how, after he set aside the money for a pair of birds, and obviously the amount of money was only going to be able to buy him a pair of birds, it happens to be that he became wealthy at that point in time. Now, his obligation has just upgraded. He now has to bring an animal in that now he's wealthy. The Achar Kach, if you remember, just I'll say parenthetically, if you remember the Gemara in Horios, so we spent a considerable amount of time going over exactly when the critical moments of of financial status are going to influence and affect which carbonus he brings. Anyway, close parentheses, but meanwhile, let's just look at the Bryce and deal with the Bryce at face value. The Achar Kach Amar Ela Lechatos VeEla LaAso. And now he says that this is going to be for my Chatos and this is going to be for my Olam. Now, it's at this point in time that he is, at this point in time, he no longer can bring just a pair of birds, but he now is going to assign that this one's for his chatas, this one's for his ola. So, Mosef u'mevi chavaso midmei chataso, ve'ein Mosef u'mevi chavaso midmei olaso. So now, somebody comes over and informs him, you have to bring an animal. Meaning it's at this point in time that it's not sufficient that you bring a pair of birds, but you have to bring an animal. So he has this money that's already been assigned, designated by him. And so he's got a little bit of money for a chatas bird, a little bit of money for an ola bird. And now the information comes that he has to bring an animal. So here's what he can do. He can now use the money that he set aside for the chatas bird. Obviously, it's not going to be enough in order to buy an animal. And he's going to have to supplement, and that supplement comes from out of his own pocket. As far as the money that he set aside for the ola bird, so he can't use it. Remember, as an usher, he's not going to be bringing a carbon ola at all. And the what the Bryce is telling us is that you might have thought that you could take this ola money and just simply use it as supplement in order to in order so that he can afford an animal. But the Bryce says clearly he cannot do that. Why? Because that money is ola money. Okay, now hopefully it's at this point in time you realize that the question seems to be really strong. Because when did he assign the monies are going to go to which carbon? He assigned it well after the Lekicha, well after he set aside the money, he designated the money. Now it is a little bit confusing over here because we're talking about, we're not talking about the purchase of an animal, we're talking about the setting aside of the money, but Rashi says it over here, and it's obvious from the Gemara, the setting aside of the money is tantamount, it's analogous to Lekicha, to the purchase of an animal. And now the Gemara is pointing out that we are at an interim period, we're not the point of Lekicha, we're not the point of Asiya, v'ketani dekava, and meanwhile, we are designating, this Metame Mikdash is designating, even though he's at an interim period, and Rav Chisda says he can't do that. Okay, so that becomes now obviously a problem. So I'm Rav Sheshes Vitisbros, so Rav Sheshes says, look, as far as the Braisa is concerned, I don't think the Braisa is a valid Braisa. What Rav Sheshes is going to attempt to argue is that it's a corrupted Braisa for reasons we're about to articulate. So once we see that the Braisa requires editing to begin with, so what we'll go ahead is that we'll just continue to edit the Braisa so it really does fit into the sheet of Rav Chisda. First of all, the Gemara points out it's got to be a corrupted Braisa. Why? Because V'amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Yoshia, Metame Mikdash Asher Ve'Hevi Karban Ani Lo Yatsa. That if you have a person who is an Asher and he makes the attempt to bring a Karban Ani, so lo yatsa, it doesn't work. It's just simply unacceptable. Meaning that the dispensation of giving the pair of birds is only a dispensation that's given out to the ani. The usher cannot make usage of that dispensation, not even b'di'evin. And now the Gemara points out, "V'kevin d'lo yatzah hechi kavas." And now the Gemara asks what is really a powerful question. Look, let's go back. Let's review the case over here. This person was metame mikdash. At the time he was an ani. Fine. Then what happens is that he becomes wealthy. Then after that point in time, he sets aside money. Now let's remember, he set aside money for a pair of birds. Now, considering what we just learned together, that an ani who makes an attempt to offer a pair of birds as his karban, lo yatzah, does not fulfill this obligation. So the idea that he's setting aside money after he becomes an asher, even if he wasn't knowledgeable about it at the time, but nevertheless, it has no status to it whatsoever. Meaning, it's not even an option b'di'evit for him to bring the pair of birds as long as he is an asher. And so that's exactly what bothers the Gemara. Hechi kava. How can you be koveya anything? So elamaisach lemeimer. So what you have to say over here is that we're going to have to go back to the Braisa, and we're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa. Shikvar amar me'ani yuso. And we're going to have to say is that this designation that he made was not currently after he becomes an asher, but actually it goes back to the time where he was an ani. V'hachinami. So over here, shikvar amar mishasa frasha. So as long as we're taking the verbal designation, as long as we're moving it back anyway, so here's what we'll do. We'll just simply move it back to the time where he first initially set aside the money, which is at that point in time, that is a critical moment, and you can make the designation at that point in time. Good. So in defense of Rav Chisda, now what we basically did is that we were forced to edit the Braisa, because the Braisa anyway doesn't make any sense. So we were forced to edit a Braisa. So with the editing of the Braisa, we just simply back it up even a little bit earlier to where he made the statement at the time when he set aside the money. So the Gemara says, good. Now this is all assuming, this is a great defense of Rav Chisda, but assuming that the Braisa is in fact corrupted. And now, as the Gemara is going to point out, I'm not so sure if you're right about that. Now it happens to be, whether an usher can use an ani's karban, and we quoted the Braisa on the Amud Aleph that says, lo yatsa, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Meanwhile, not everyone agrees to that. And the Gemara just quotes in the name of Rav Oshia, that you are going to be yotzei. So Michael Amemar, as we turn now to the top of the Amud Beis, so that means to say that if we subscribe to this viewpoint, the Braisa then is not corrupted, meaning the Braisa actually halachically works out. Remember, the question was, is that if he was an usher and he set aside the pair of birds as an usher, so that shouldn't have any status to it whatsoever. An usher cannot bring the carbon of an ani. So now the Gemara is pointing out that's good if you hold like the Tanakhama, but there is a tenable position, notably of Rav Oshia, who says that it would work b'di'evin. So that means to say that the Braisa, at the way it was originally presented, does actually work out. Now, if it works out, that means that it's not a corrupted Braisa. If it's not a corrupted Braisa, so it doesn't allow for the editing that the Gemara just did. All this now becomes a problem to Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says that during the interim period, you cannot make a designation, and now the Braisa, unedited, tells you you can make a designation during the interim period. Gemara continues, lo tema v'achar kach amar, ela ema v'achar kach lakach v'amar. So what the Gemara is now going to do is that we're going to edit the Braisa. Now, I know we just got done saying that we don't have the right to edit the Braisa, but this is not a real radical editing of the Braisa. All we're doing over here is that we're adding a word in the Braisa. Previously, what we wanted to do is we wanted to really reinterpret the Braisa, and we had to change sentences around. Over here, we're just going to add a word, and this is not a radical it's not as radical a suggestion. And here's what we're going to say. We're going to say, achar kach lakach v'amar. Meaning when he becomes an usher, what he then does is that he purchases. He took the money that he set aside. He purchased the birds with the money. And now, after having purchased the birds, so now you have the designation. Now, why do you have designation? Because let's remember, Rav Chisda's rule is that the critical points in which you can make an assignment is either going to be at the time of lechicha or at the time of asiya. So over here, when he purchases the birds with this money, that is considered shas lechicha. Ah, very good. Now, considering that this is shas lechicha, so now he has the right to make that assignment in terms of which one is the chatas and which one's the ola. Good. So lakach, so the Gemara says, Mosif umevi chavaso mainihu. So the Gemara says, okay, so now he purchased a bird. So now instead of having money, he has a pair of birds in his hands. So the Gemara says, so now, remember, what did the Braisa say? Well, because he's an asher, so now what he's got to do is he's got to upgrade. He's got to get an animal. So over here, if we're talking about money, so upgrading is very simple. It just simply means add more money. But if he purchased the birds like what we're suggesting in the Braisa, so what does upgrade mean over here? You can't turn a bird into an animal. and the parakle. So the Gemara says, well, okay, I'll tell you what we could suggest. Maybe what he'll do is he'll redeem the bird and take the money and now and add to the money and purchase an animal. The Gemara says, vayin pigeon loaf? Yeah, but you can't be poda a bird. A bird is unredeemable. Amar Rapapa, kigon shalakach preda ach. So Rapapa says, okay. So, but we can offer the following pshat, meaning we're going to stay with the pshat that he set aside the money, and then he purchased. Now the problem is that if he purchased, so then how can he upgrade to an animal? So what Rapapa is saying is that, yeah, he purchased one bird. So he took the money, not obviously all of it, but he took some of the money and he purchased one bird with some of the money. Now, how does that help us? So it helps us in the following. First of all, in terms of the assignment of which bird is a chatas and which money is an ola, so good. Meaning it is now an acceptable time in order to make that designation because we are now at a critical moment. We are at the time of lakicha. So it helps us in terms of that. It also helps us because, you still have money. And so the Gemara goes on to explain, e ola zavan. So if he went ahead and he purchased the ola, so most of it maybe, so chavasim in mechataso. So that means now that the ola bird is designated an ola because it was at the time of lakicha. It also means that the other money by default now is going to be assigned as chatas money. It also means that that money now could be supplemented with other monies in order so that he can purchase his animal. Vahai ola azal nedava. Now, as far as the carbon ola is concerned, so that's very simple. You could just simply offer it as a nedava. It's an ola. And ichatazava. Now, if he went ahead and used the money, some of the money to purchase one bird and designate it as a chata, so that's also a solvable problem. Ein mosif amevi chavasa midmei ola. So now, you can't take the other money, the remaining money, and use that money for your chatas because that money now is assigned as ola money. And the ola money cannot be rerouted as chatas money. V'hai chatas azal lemisa. Now, as far as the chatas bird is concerned, so once again, birds are unredeemable, so the bird has to be disposed of. It's holech lemisa. Okay. That was admittedly a lot of work to explain the brisa, but once we explain the brisa in this manner, no longer does it pose a kasha on the shita of Rav Chisda. And when all said and done, as we're now into the Amud Beis, the Gemara has now successfully mounted a defense of Rav Chisda, and it comes out now that there are only two critical moments where a person can designate and assign which birds the chatas, which birds the ola, either at the time of lakicha or at the time of asiya. Gufa, as long as we're here, the Gemara just wants to quickly go back and just chazer a point that we saw together. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rebbe Oshia, Metame Mikdash Asher, Ve'evi Karban Ani Lo Yatza. So again, the sheet of the Tanakama is that somebody who went into the Beis Hamikdash while he was an Ani, and then he becomes wealthy, and now to set aside the Karbanos, he has to bring the Karban of an Asher. He cannot bring the Karban of an Ani. B'di'evit, it does not work. Rabbi Chaga, Amar Rebbe Oshia, and the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rebbe Oshia, that B'di'evit Yatza, it works. So Meisrei, so good. So the Machlokas that we saw earlier. So Meisrei, the Gemara challenges and specifically we're challenging the Shita of Rabbi Oshia. Mitzor Ani Shevi Karban Asher, Asher Shevi Karban Ani Lo Yatza. So let's do that again, let's do it correctly. Mitzor Ani Shevi Karban Asher, Yatza. Asher Shevi Karban Ani Lo Yatza. Okay. So over here, we're bringing down a Mishnah in Negayim, and this Mishnah in Negayim is talking about the Karbanos that is brought by the Mitzor at the conclusion, at the termination of his Tzaraas. There is, for the Mitzorah also, you have the basic, you have a basic construct in which a Mitzorah Asher is going to bring three Karbanos. One, a Chatas, a second, an Ola, and a third is a Karban Asham. An Ani also is going to bring, Ola, Chatas, and Asham, but because he's an Ani, so his financial break will be that instead of buying two animals, one Chatas, one an Ola, he could buy a pair of birds, one's a Chatas, one is an Ola. The Asham still remains to be an animal. Now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that if I have a Mitzorah Ani that brings a Karban Asher, so Yatza. If I have a Mitzorah at the termination of his Saras who wants to and needs to bring Karbanos, and he really pushes himself. And although he had every right and dispensation to bring the poor man's Karban, but he pushed himself to bring the wealthy man's Karban, so the Mishnah in Negayim tells us, Yotze. However, the Asher Shehevi Karban Ani Lo Yatza. Not Yotze. This is a Stam Mishnah in Negayim. And the question, of course, is that Rav Oshia said that when it comes to the Metame Mikdash B'di'evid, if you were wealthy and you brought the poor one, you're Yotze. But over here, clearly the Mishnah in Negayim says it does not work. Afilu B'di'evid. So Shani Halsam said, the Gemara says, okay, so what we could do is the following. What we will do is the following. And that is that when it comes to the Mitzorah, We have drashas. The pasuk says zos. So zos tells us that it has to be done in this manner, and there can be no room for deviation. The gemara says good. Yachi reisha namis. Well, if zos tells us that there can be no room for deviation, that should work in both directions. Meaning, then should lead us to the conclusion that a wealthy mitzvah cannot bring a poor mitzvahs karbanos, and the opposite should also be true as well. So the Gemara says, HaRabbi Rechman HaTorah. Yeah, but the Torah also says the word Torahs, Zos Torahs, and the Torahs is a ribui. It comes to amplify and tells us that that you're allowed to bring more karbanos. Okay. And the Gemara is assuming, the Gemara doesn't even spell it out, but the Gemara is assuming is that we have a miyut and we have a ribui, and of course it makes the most sense to suggest that the miyut is telling me that the wealthy person can't get away by buying the poor mitzvahs karbanos, but meanwhile the poor person through the ribui could bring the wealthy mitzvahs karbanos. Ve'hatanya, the Gemara now is going to bring this as a support. This is a hey bin nichusa, so toros larabos mitzvah. Ani shehevi karban asher, yachal afil asher shehevi karban ani, tamalomer zos. Okay, the Brisa says it beferish. V'neil of mina. So the Gemara says good. So what we've now just established is that by the case of the Mitzara, so we have extraordinarily clear-cut rules, which is that the poor Mitzara could bring the wealthy Mitzara's karbanos, but the wealthy Mitzara cannot bring the poor Mitzara's karbanos, and good. And so it's something that's specific and limited to Tzaras, to Negayim, and the karbanos of a Mitzara. So Gemara says, V'nelef minei, okay. So we have what's also called the Binyanav. Binyanav says that if I have a precedent, so then we could take that precedent and extend it to other halachas as well. So why don't we take the halachas that we just learned regarding the Mitzara and bring it over to the Mitami Mikdash, and with the same application? So the Gemara says, Miyat Rechman of Imdalhu. Yeah, so we have a Miyat. Meaning by virtue of the fact that the Torah by the Mitzvah says Imdalhu, who is always a Miyat. And the Miyat is coming to tell us that this, these rules that were just set forth is specifically to the Mitzvah and not to other areas where you have adjustable karbanos. Good, good. So at this point in time, what we know for sure is that when it comes to the Mitzvah, we have the Mishnah Negaim, we have the drushas that we just learned together coupled with the Braisa. And then the only question the Gemara had is that can we extend that also to the Mitame Mikdash? The Gemara says, no, we can't. And so by the Mitame Mikdash, so as we just learned together, machlok is between the Tanakam and Rav Oshia, whether a wealthy person who wants to bring the carbon ani for someone who is Mitame Mikdash, will that work? So Tanakam says, no, afilu b'di'evin. Rav Oshia says, yes, it would work b'di'evin. And we just went through together why it is that we're not going to learn out these halachas that were clearly presented by the Mesora. We are now on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We are halfway down as we now continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is going to be presenting to us a continuation of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Kasha Loshan Shalzaharis Barosh Sira Mashalech. He's going to be tying a strip of red wool onto the head of the Sira Mashalech. The goat's going to be sent off the cliff. Ve'hemidu keneged be'shilucho. And now in terms of positioning it, so you're going to be positioning that goat right through the gate in which it's going to be sent away. Meaning, it's still in the Azara, but now headed in the right direction. Now, as far as the other goat is concerned, so you are going to be facing it in the Beishchita, in the direction in which it's going to be shechted, meaning westbound. Balo etzel parushnia. Now he returns back to his par. Now, in terms of the seder, so the truth of the matter is that you could read the psukim in the chumash, and they're just as clear as the mishnayos are. The mishnayos are a little bit more elaborate in terms of the details that are given, but in terms of the seder hayom, so we're really following the psukim over here. The mishnah and the psukim go hand in hand. This point we already made a couple of days ago in Rashi. Good. V'kach haya omer. And now vidui. This is now the second vidui that he's saying over the par. What makes this vidui different than the first vidui? So as we already went over, and we get to go over again, the first vidui was for himself and for his immediate family. The second vidui that he's doing right now is going to be for all the Kohanim. Ana Hashem. Now the girsa that we have in the Mishnah is chatasi, aviti, pashati, but we went over the machlokes between Rameh and the Chachamim in terms of what the correct order is. Anyway, aviti, pashati, chatasi, it would just say the Mishnah over like we did in the previous Mishnah, even though the Mistam Mishnah over here is going like Rameir, and even though the Gemara says that's not the halacha. Anyway, Avita Pashat Dechatas Levanecha Niu Vesiu V'nei Aron Am Kedoshecha. And clearly over here by the Nusach of the Vidui, you see that that this Vidui is for the Kohanim. Ana Hashem Kaperna Lavonus L'Pashayim L'Chatayim She'avitsu She'Pashat V'Shechatas Levanecha Niu Vesi U'V'nei Aron Am Kedoshecha. Okay, nearly identical to the previous Mishnah, but the obvious difference, of course, now is that this video is for all the Kohanim. The Gemara over here starts off with a simple question, and that is, there is a slight ambiguity in the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah describes how, for the Sira Meshalech, there are two activities that are done. One, you're tying a red wool strip on the head of the Sira Meshalech. Two, the positioning of the Sira Meshalech is Keneged Beishilucho, in the direction where it's going to be sent out. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Ulanishchat keneged beshchitaso. What we're going to be doing is that we are going to take the Nishchat, that's the Sir Lashem, and keneged beshchitaso. Now we're going to be doing what to it? Well, there are two things that were mentioned by the Sir Mashalech. One, the tying of the red ribbon. Two, is going to be the positioning of where the red ribbon is going to be tied. By the head. So the, and where he's going to be headed in terms of direction. So now when the Mishnah goes on to describe, and for the Sir LaHashem, we're going to be doing that. So what is that making a reference to? And that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Is it talking about the tying, or is it talking about where exactly it is going to be positioned? So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, the Niv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following Braisa, Kesh Lashon Shel Zoris Bero Shira Mishalech. So here in this Braisa, it's going to basically be our Mishnah, but with slightly more details, and the details are going to make all the difference in terms of our understanding. So we're going to be tying the Lashon Shel Zoris onto the head of the Shira Mishalech, the Amidu Keneget Beishilucho, and again, the positioning of it in the direction of where it's going to be sent away. L'Nishcha Keneget Beishchitaso. Now, as far as the Nishcha is concerned, so that is Keneget Beishchitaso. Again, this is verbatim our Mishnah, so at this point in time, the same ambiguity that we had in the Mishnah we're going to have in the Brisa as well, but it's for the upcoming, which is going to give us the clarity. Shelo yisarev zebazeh, so there should not be any confusion. Velo yisarev bacherim, meaning we're going to be able to differentiate the two goats, one from the other, and we're going to be able to differentiate it from any other goats that happen to be in the Azara in the time. Now, iamar bishlamak shira kai shapir. Now, if we're tying red ribbons to both of the animals, so I now know how it is that you won't confuse these animals with any other animals, because all the other animals do not have red ribbons, and these ones do have red wool tied to them. But if all we're talking about is just simply positioning, meaning that the Sir Mashalech is going to be tied with a red ribbon and positioned, and the Sir Lashem is only going to be positioned, but has nothing to do with the tying of the red ribbon, so so that means that the Sir Lashem has no red ribbon tied to it, so you can easily confuse it with any of the other goats that happen to be in the Azara. So the Brisa of Rav Yosef, Eloshmamina, Akishira Kaishmamina. So what comes out clearly over here is that we're tying red ribbons to both of the goats, both to the Sir Lashem and the Sir Lazazel. And that way now we are differentiating them from each other. The way we're differentiating them from each other is because the Sir Lazazel, the red ribbon is going to be tied to its head, and the Sir Lashem, presumably it's going to be tied to its neck in the area where it's going to get slaughtered. Also, you're not going to confuse it with any other animals because no other animals have red attached to it. Good. So it's at this point in time now that the Gemara feels that this is now the correct shot in our Mishnah. And despite the fact that there are, I don't know how many pictures you've seen, but the truth of the matter is it's not just the pictures. From the piyutim that we say on Yom Kippur, you kind of get the impression that the red wool is only tied to the Sir Lazazel, but the Gemara's conclusion over here is very clear, that the red wool is tied to both the Sir Lazazel and also the Sir Lashem. Amar Rav Yitzchak Shelo Shana Shamati. So Rav Yitzchak says, I have a Mesorah, I have a tradition, that there are two strips of wool, and there's a distinction to be made between the two of them. Now it happens to be that the halacha, the Torah demands that red wool be used with the paradum. It also demands that it be used with the sir mishalech, which is obviously our topic right now. Now here's what I have as a mesorah. One requires a shear and one does not require a shear. And but Rav Yitzchak says, but I don't know which one's which. So I'm Rav Yosef Nechzi Anan. So Rav Yosef says, good. So regarding the suffix of Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rav Yosef says, so let's see if we can figure it out. Let's give it Svara. Shal Sir Mishalech Dabai Chalukah Bai Shir. We know the Sir Mishalech, so it needs to be broken up. it's going to be divided into two parts. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. Rashi here brings it down. When the Sirah Mashalech is going to be sent out, so half of it is going to remain to the tied to the head of the Sirah Mashalech, and the other half is going to be is going to be tied to a rock that's on the precipice of the cliff. And when it comes to the paraduma, so it's not going to be divided, and therefore it doesn't require shear. So Maskal Varame Brachama the Paranami by COVID. I don't understand. By the wool for the paraduma, doesn't it have to have weight? And the Gemara is assuming that, well, if it has to have weight, so it has to have amount. Now, why would it need weight? So the as the Amale Rava, COVID Tanai. So Rava says, well, the fact that it has weight, or it needs to have weight, happens to be that that's a machlokas tanai. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. In a moment, we're going to come back to the Gemara's point as to whether or not the wool by the paraduma requires weight. It doesn't require weight, but the Gemara is just kind of stuck on the point that when it comes to the wool, the Sirah Mashalech has to be divided, like we described. The Gemara says, by the paraduma, you're telling me it doesn't have to be divided. So Eis ve'abai. So what about the Mishnah? So we're going to learn another Mishnah in Parah. This is in the third parak of Parah, Ketzer Oseh, Korchan b'shayari lashan. So as far as the Eitz Erez and the Ezov are concerned, so the Mishnah tells us that we're going to be tying it together with the shayari lashan, with the leftovers, or with the remnants of the red wool. Now, a simple reading of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that the red wool is split into two. Some of it's just going to be thrown directly into the fire, and the other one is used to tie together the Eitz Erez and the Ezov. So it sounds like it's getting split up, and the Gemara says, now moments earlier you told me that it doesn't have to be split up, so the Gemara says, Ema biznav lashon. Okay, so here's what we'll say. We'll say that, no, we're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah just simply means that the red wool for the paraduma is going to be combed out. It's going to basically have a tail, and it's in that tail of the red wool that we're going to tie together the Ezov and the Eitz Erez. Okay. Anyway, it comes out now that we just, the Gemara just wanted, sorry for the bad pun, the Gemara just wanted to tie up the loose end. We said that by the paraduma, the red wool doesn't need to be splintered two. It sounded like from the Mishnah it does need to splinter two. So the Gemara just went into a small clarification. Now we're going to go back to the halachas regarding whether or not there needs to be a shear by the red wool of the paraduma. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Eitz Ereshni Salash Shekil Latatan Shal Heves Kshera. So let's say you throw it into the fire, meaning you're burning the paraduma together with the Eitz Erez and the Ezov and the Shni Atolas and the red wool, and let's say it burns in the fire, meaning in the flame. It doesn't even make it down to the ground. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, that's Kasher. So Meisvein is Haveva Lashon Mevi Lashon Achiru Mekadesh. So meanwhile, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, and the Brisa says that if the strip of wool happens to get incinerated while being placed into the fire, meaning it didn't make it into the fire, but the flames went ahead and consumed it. So you got to start over again. You got to do it again. So that obviously is difficult. So Amrei Abai, Lo Kasha Abai says, no, I don't think it's difficult. Kan b'kolachas, kan b'nichfefes. It depends on what kind of flame we're talking about. Is the flame a rising flame? If the flame is a rising flame, so then that's where the Bryce is most unhappy, because that means to say that it never really made it into the fire. The jumping flame that went in ahead and incinerated it, it does not qualify now as these ingredients going besoch sreifas apara. And that's what the Bryce is describing. Meanwhile, Rav, on the other hand, so he was talking about where the fire was nichfefes. Literally, it was crouching. That means to say that it was basically glowing hot coals. But it wasn't a jumping flame. So as long as it made it onto the glowing hot coals, it's considered that it went into the fire. Now, that's one possibility. Rava Amar Kovetanahi. Another possibility, which the Gemara goes over, the previous one was Abai, this one now is Rava, is that it's subject to a machlokas tanaim. Detanya lama korchan. The Bryce over here describes and discusses why exactly do we wrap up the wood and the azov. Why do we wrap it up in the red wool? So the Torah says so, but it says if the Bryce over here is giving time a krah. So the Tanya Lama Korchan, Kideshi Ukulam Baguda Achas Iver Rabbi. So according to Rabbi, so we want them all to be burned at the same time. The Rebbe's understanding of the pasuk in the Torah is that when the Torah puts these three together, they must be biyachad. Similar in idea to the discussion that we had at the end of Pesachim, and when the Torah says that you're eating the matzah together with maror, when you're eating the Karban Pesach together with matzah maror, so they have to be simultaneously, or can they be one after the other? Similar idea. So over here, the Shitas Rabbi is that the Torah demands that they put it at the same time. That's why they time it together. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Kadesh, Yubayim, Kovar, Viyu, Pulis, Och, Shrefa, Sapar. No. The reason why we tie them together is to give more weight, meaning they're just simply going to be weightier once you tie them all together. So that's why it's going to be falling into the fire. So over here now, it's clear in this Brisa, this machlok is between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar versus Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, is basically all going to be predicated on whether or not there needs to be weight to the three ingredients that are going into the fire. According to Rabbi, it does not have to have weight. The only reason why we're tying them together is just simply so that they can go in simultaneously. And meanwhile, the Shita, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, is that no, they need to have weight. And so now, previously, when the Gemara says, suggested that when it comes to the when it comes to the red wool, and we have this Masorah by Rabbi Yitzhak that one needs a shear and one doesn't need a shear, and the Gemara said, well, the one that doesn't need a shear is a parah, because it doesn't require kovah, it doesn't require weight. So now, as we just concluded in the Gemara over here, not everyone agrees to that. Some Tanaim, notably Rabbi Shimon, says it doesn't have to have weight. So that means that the svara is just simply not going to work out. Okay, comes out from all this is that we now have we're gonna stop over here and we finished with this section and let's just quickly recap the first half of today's daf. Very straightforward to recap, admittedly a little bit difficult, but very easy to recap in terms of the halacha of Rav Chisda, that there are two times where you can identify the status of a pair of birds, which one's a chatas, which one's a ola. Either it's going to be at the time of lekicha, or it's going to be at the time of Asiyah when the Kohen's offering them. Any interim period in time, so it's just simply not eligible to designate. You simply cannot give it any status. Good? That's the halacha of Rav Chisda. It's based on Psukim. It's based on a drasha. And what the Gemara attempts to do is challenge, see whether or not this can withstand a series of brises. And for the entirety of the Amud Aleph, even going into the Amud Beis, so the Gemara ends up successfully defending Rav Chisda's halacha. As a tangent to this tangent, the Gemara also went over whether for the adjustable karbanos, like the carbon of the Mitzorah and like the carbon of the Metame Mikdash, where they're adjustable based on your finances, so can a wealthy person bring a poor person's carbon and vice versa. Good. By Mitzorah, it happens to be that the halacha is very clear-cut. By the Metame Mikdash, it's not as clear-cut. In fact, it's a machlokas tanayim. Good. On the Amud Beis, so we went over the continuation of the Avod of Yom Kippur. The tying up of the red wool to both of the karbanos, meaning although the Mishnah was somewhat ambiguous on this, but the Gemara says that in terms of a clear conclusion, we're going to be tying the red wool to both the Sir Mishlech and the Sir Lashem, and we're positioning them in its right location, meaning they're going to be facing the direction in which they are headed to. And then the Kohen Gadol is going to go to his power for a second vidui for the other Kohanim. Good. That's where the Mishnah takes us to. The Gemara just cleared up the ambiguity that lied in the first half of the Mishnah, which we just went over. And then the remainder of today's daf dealt with a Masorah that Rabbi Yitzhak had. A red wool is needed by the Paraduma. Red wool is needed by the Sirah Mishaleach. And as he points out, he has a Masorah that one of them has a sheer requirement. But he doesn't know which one. And Rav Yosef offered a svara. Rav Yosef said that the Sir Mishalech has a sheer requirement because it's going to get broken into two. Paraduma does not need to get broken into two, although there was a Mishnah in the Mishnah and Parah that seems to say that it was broken into two, but that's not true. The Gemara says that's not the correct pshat. But then the Gemara pointed out that by the Sir HaMishtaleach, the idea that it requires a sheer because by the wool by the Paraduma, it does not need any shear whatsoever. The Gemara says, I'm not so sure if that's right. In fact, what came out from the end of the daf today is that whether or not the wool by the Paraduma requires to have any weight to it or does not, is a machlokas tanaim. So the Gemara, although Rav Yosef set up shot within Rav Yitzchak, it seems like from the end of the Gemara that the Gemara was not thrilled with that suggestion.